always nice to kick it old school on a Christmas morning with Run DMC and Digging Christmas and Hollis. Thanks so much for listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart along with Rachel Martin.
Hello.
And you know, sometimes on the holidays, it's slow news time.
It is.
It
We're not going to lie to you.
It's slow news time. But one thing that we have discovered by the amount of pitches we have this morning, the sort of odd offbeat stories never
They're
take
always
a holiday.
Around. They're always around.
Let's start the ramble.
I'm up first, and this story comes with a warning. If you are about to make your favorite special Jimmy Dean sausage for Christmas morning, maybe you should stop or don't listen or something. A North Dakota farmer, I can't get through this, forecast the weather using pig spleens. That's right, pig spleens. He uses them to tell what the weather's going to be
like. It's apparently a sort of a folklore tradition, though. He's not out there by himself. There are other people who agree.
On the prairie, he's out there. He needs to know if it's going to be lightning, stormy. He throws the brown, glistening, foot-long organs on the kitchen counter and examines them as one is wont to do. If a spleen is wide, where it attaches to the pig's stomach, and the narrows, winter will come early with a mild spring. A spleen that goes narrow to wide means a harsh spring. And when Weather Service forecasters predict a normal winter in North Dakota, which agrees with the spleen readings, I guess that's a good day when they correlate. This is a bizarre kind of tradition. North Dakota, do they do that a lot? I don't know. Apparently, the spleens are 85% correct, as good as weathermen, according to this guy.
Hey, you know what? A whole lot of people gather around a place in Pennsylvania and watch to see if a groundhog comes in and out of his cave. So I don't think we should be disparaging the spleen, frankly.
It's true.
Here's an interesting story. Ice skating dates back 4,000 years to the frozen lakes of Finland, but original skates, obviously not metal blades. Apparently, they were made of bones.
Really?
And they believe horse bones. This is in a new study from the Linnean Society of London's Biological Journal. Early skaters stood on two horse bones, and then they propelled themselves along with a stick. So it sounds like it was a little bit of a cross between cross-country skiing and ice skating. Now, the team that did the study, gotta give them props because they actually tried it.
Wow.
They described it as quite good fun.
Researchers
know how to have a good time, apparently. Just give them some horse bones and an icy pond, and they go wild.
This is a really sweet story that our executive producer, Sharon Hoffman, dug up. It's the sweet story. Last night, Ilda Ruth Southey had her second Christmas Eve surprise wedding. Now, stay with me here. The first time she had a surprise wedding was in 1942 when her husband, Francis, was awaiting orders to ship out to Europe in World War II. Ruth thought she was just going to spend Christmas with him at his military base in Texas. But when she got there, Francis, tricky guy that he was, had a surprise ceremony all arranged.
Aww.
I know. Now, 65 years later, she lives at the Waterford Senior Living Facility in Wisconsin, and the staff there arranged a surprise wedding for the couple's anniversary last night.
Oh, double aw.
I know. They renewed their vows as family and friends were there to support them. Very sweet.
That's a very nice Christmas Eve story. Here's one for the little guy. A guy named Arthur Salas of Duluth Travel, small business, just through dogged determination and his refusal to accept the government's many miles of red tape. Well, Arthur Salas of Duluth Travel got a 3-year contract to handle all the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs travel.
It's a good day.
Can you imagine? It's going to quadruple his company's earnings. Isn't that amazing? He's a service-disabled Vietnam vet himself. He's been fighting for years for this contract. He just knew it would make a difference. One thing he said in the article, which I thought was interesting, is he erased the word no from his vocabulary. Every time he heard the word no, he heard not now or maybe.
Wow.
And that's how he persevered through. Of course, no means no in terms of sexual harassment and other things.
Of course it does.
But in terms of trying to achieve your goal and get to your accomplishments.
Does not exist.
Worked for him. He's now working with the VA to start a program helping other veterans seeking business with the U.S. government.
Another nice story. Kind of a feel-good Christmas.
Paying it
ramble.
Forward.
Except for the bones and the spleens. You can find these stories and other BPP specials at our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.